You can't be disconnected spiritually in this earth. You cannot do it. You're not a sovereign God. You cannot do it. You like God. You're in every way you like it. But you can't be without Him.
The world's idea of freedom is to be independent. Join Kenneth Copeland and special guest Creflo Dollar today as they reveal from God's Word what true independence means. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and I got some news for you. Jesus is Lord. He is Savior, and He is High Priest. He's our Melchizedek, praise God, that receives our tithes and blesses us, yes. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Father, we just thank you today.
Thank you, Lord. We praise
you for this broadcast. The victory that we have in Christ Jesus, praise God forever. Heaven is doing well, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God's word, God's power, God's presence, God's faithfulness, God's healing power, His word, His power to prosper financially is not dependent on man's economy.
Yes, sir.
Man's economy is dependent on Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, if we can realize that.
Oh, and grasp that. You know, Creflo, even after I knew that, for a long time, I had to continue to meditate on it. So did you, so did anybody else. You meditate on it night and day and day and night. The Word says, keep it before your eyes, keeping it in your heart, and then you keep your heart, protect it with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. And, you know, God told Joshua was about to go into combat, man. And He's telling him, don't sit around and worry about whether you're going to live through the war or not, but meditate in My Word day and night, and you will observe, you'll see into it, and then you'll know how to do everything that's written in it. There does come a time when your mind is renewed, when you begin to know these things, mm-hmm. and you begin to think these first instead of later. Mm-hmm. And what's happened when that happens, your way of thinking has changed. Mm-hmm. And so you grow over the years to the point where you can see what's happening on the media and so forth. And it's like watching a bad movie or something, but you're not sitting there expecting it to happen to you because you're no longer connected to it.
And that really is the key, your way of thinking.
Your way of thinking.
Your way of thinking will really determine your destination.
It's what you think when you're not trying to think.
Yeah.
It's what you say when you didn't have time to think about it.
Yeah. What comes up automatically.
So really, there's only one way to change it. You go to the Word of God, and you choose. God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So there's two different thoughts there. You choose His Word. Mm-hmm. My needs are met according to His riches and glory, for instance. Mm-hmm. All these things will be added unto you, for instance. So, okay, I read that. Oh, that's wonderful. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. But now you walk outside, and something else different hits you and you think, oh, man, what am I going to do? This goes away because that's where you're trained. Mm-hmm. So you take this thought, you think it, and say it. You take it, think it, say it. Mm-hmm. Take it, think it, say it. Now, what did Jesus say? Mm-hmm. Why take ye thought, say it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you keep doing that over and over and over and over and over. And there's coming a time, and it won't be all that long away, when you go outside and that same thing happens and you think, ha, no, my needs are met according to His riches and glory. That's not, and then you think, wow, I said it before I thought. Mm-hmm. Now you've changed your way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do then is just feed it, maintain it, and keep it going. Now, if you start watching the TV and they, oh, man, oh, no, oh, ah, ooh, no, you will drift back over in that. You let that get in there. Cast that imagination down. Get it out of there. And it'll go on away. So then it's a matter of protecting your spirit. By this time, things have become to manifest. They've been coming towards you all the time, but they begin to manifest. And you say, you know what? I didn't lose my job because I work for God. I work for Jesus. He's my Lord, but he's also my employer. And every morning I get up and I say, Lord, what can I do for you today? What would you have me to do today? Well, he may send me to a place where he's assigned me to go until he says go somewhere else. I may wind up working with that ministry. I may wind up working for the bank. I may wind up working for some other company out here because he needs me there, not because I need the job.
Right, right. And that's so very, very important, which is why this broadcast is so important. You're watching a television. The job of that the job of that instrument.
I see where that's going.
The job of that instrument is to tell a vision. So if all we're ever hearing is the vision of the world and the vision of the enemy, and nobody has enough guts to tap the blessing, so we can use that instrument to tell the vision of the blessing, then you're going to be consumed with that thing.
Now I know why Satan fought against the gospel getting on television and on the motion picture screen, because he don't want us telling the vision.
That's right. And we're telling the vision, and now you got the web out. We on that too. We're going to be on all of it because as long as the Bible talks about there is life and death and blessings and cursings, then somebody's got to be on television and internet so that people can understand, if I am going to make the decision between life and death, but all they see is death, 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 death. Somebody's got to be preaching life, 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 life. We're not coming off television because we've been ordained to tell this vision,
tell
and
the vision.
Blessing will support it. And the stations and the networks who understand that can be a partaker of the blessing that comes when they enable us to tell a vision on that television. But those that come against those who are to confer this blessing, eventually it's going to be delayed failure again.
Yeah,
things are going to go down. God is going to use this instrument for his glory. And those who tune in and take heed will be in Goshen, where multiplication is still going on, and not in Egypt.
Oh, my goodness.
So this broadcast is vital to the lives of millions of people.
I've been on television for 30 years, and today I found out why. I'm supposed to be television. Praise God. Yeah, that's what's been done.
And also, through this instrument, you will also receive the Word of God. But watch this. You're going to also receive the contradiction. Brother Copeland and I were talking about the contradiction and what happened again in Genesis chapter 3 when verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, a contradictory statement. You shall not die. Now, he brought this up, and this, I've never seen this. This is so good. As soon as he gave the contradiction, he eased right on in with, for God doth not know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Say what you said to us on.
Well, he started it first. He accused God of lying. Mm-hmm. He knew God wasn't lying. He's the liar. Mm-hmm. But he needed a contradiction to what God said, and he needed her to think it. Mm-hmm. That was the seed. Mm-hmm. Now, he knows that in order to take control of her, she has to fear, because fear is the only contact he has with her. She's connected to Adam, who's connected to God. They're both connected to God. They came out of God, they're connected to God. The only way he can break that connection, because they believed God, he has to contradict what God said and cause a separation of faith, which takes fear. So, and what he's after here is to turn their faith from God to him. Mm-hmm. Believe me, mm-hmm. your faith comes to me. Mm-hmm. That's the connection. Mm-hmm. But they can't connect with him without it becoming fear.
And when you operate in fear, God can't connect to you.
No. Mm-hmm. So now, the next thing he said, without even taking a breath, man, he said, you shall not surely die, because God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, the first time in her life she has an independent thought, she thinks it's independent, it came from him, from that snake, and she thinks on this, God knows that I'll become like him and I'll know good and evil. That automatically indicates to her there's something she doesn't have. Mm-hmm. There's something she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. There's something God is that she's not. Mm-hmm. Now, she doesn't know it. Mm-hmm. But now the seed of fear has been sown. Mm-hmm. It's not fright. Mm-hmm. No, fear doesn't manifest itself as fright. Mm-hmm. That's not its job to frighten you. Mm-hmm. Its job is to cloud and cover the word of God and connect you to death. So, they found it out later, but they don't know. They don't even know what it is now. So then, and she thinks that. Well, is that correct? No, she was already like God.
Yeah.
See, it wasn't that she was not to know good and evil. It was that she didn't need to experience it to know it. God would have taught it to them. Jesus didn't experience it, and yet he knew and understood it. Now, the word know here is wrong, because he said you will have intimate relationship with evil. Well, God doesn't have intimate relationship with evil, mm-hmm. but yet he totally, completely understands it, but he has no evil in him.
And you know, this fear created an identity crisis.
Uh-huh.
They begin to question who they were.
Who am I?
So now the identity crisis that people go through is fear-based, isn't it?
It has to be.
Yeah, because you look at this, the very thing he contradicted and said was exactly what they had, or had available to them, at least. But he made them feel like, oh, my goodness, I am afraid that I am missing out on something, so I need to do something. Here goes self-preservation. I now need to do something to make up for what I'm afraid that I don't have.
And she never mentioned anything about it to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
She never said anything to him about it. Mm-hmm. She never even said anything to her husband about it. Mm-hmm. She just went on and followed this mess. Well, the process worked. The seed germinated. Mm-hmm. And she acted on it. What happened? She believed what he said.
Yes, she believed her
eyes would be open. Yeah. She believed she'd be like God. She believed she'd know the difference between good and evil. Mm-hmm. Or know good and evil, not the difference. She would know good and evil. Mm-hmm. And she believed all that. Well, when she had faith in that, it disconnected from God. It disconnected from her husband. And when you can't be disconnected spiritually in this earth. You cannot do it. You're not a sovereign God. You cannot do it. You like God. In every way you like Him. But you can't be without Him. Mm-hmm. And so when she believed Satan, it connected her to Him when she acted on it. She took that fruit. She obeyed what He said. And she acted on it, and sin stopped the blessing, and death entered the world. Now, she immediately turned to him. He didn't say a word. He just ate. And he was there with her, the scripture said. Well, now what's happened? Same thing now has happened to him. Now they're connected together, and together they're connected to Satan, and God is somewhere else. Now they still don't know fear's in them. They know something wrong. Now remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Up until then, when they heard the voice of God, they ran to it.
Yes.
Father's in the garden. Let's go see. Hey, we ought to go see Father, man. Let's go see. But what happened this time? They heard his voice, and faith, fear doesn't come to God. Fear runs from God. It's ashamed. It doesn't want in the presence of holiness. Why? Because you're not connected to him anymore.
So fear causes you to hide from the presence of God.
Yeah, embarrassed.
Yeah.
Naked. Oh,
yeah.
I'm naked. Yeah. Who told you you was naked?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm just naked, man.
Yeah.
And they ran and hid and tried to cover themselves up. And so now God came in there and helped them, but they're not connected to him.
Oh, my goodness. And so look what's happened throughout all the generations now. You have a generation of people who are afraid to come to the presence of God. They are fearful about coming to the presence of God.
In the book of Hebrews, it is explained with great clarity. In the second chapter, verse 13, again, I will put my trust in him. Again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise. Now, anytime you see a reference to Jesus taking flesh and blood, you know where that's going. That's going right to the cross, brother. He took part of the same so that through death, Jesus might destroy him, paralyze, completely incapacitate him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and, listen now, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject. All their lifetime. What is the subject of a king? That person is connected to that king. That in order to function, they have to do what that king says. If you're a citizen of the United States, you're subject to its laws. You violate its laws, and it will put you in jail. A citizen of another nation doesn't keep, he's not subject to the laws of the United States. He's subject to the laws of that nation unless he comes over here to the United States. Now, here's the problem, Creflo, is people coming from another country into this country and never take on the laws are becoming subject to this country, still trying to live under the same tyranny they were when they were trying to leave. Well, we've been delivered from the authority of darkness. We have been delivered from being subject to darkness and translated into the kingdom of the blessing, the kingdom of God's dear Son. Already.
Yeah.
Not after you die and go to heaven. If you hadn't already been transferred, you ain't going to heaven when you die.
Oh, my goodness.
So, here it is right here. Through the fear of death. Now, put death at the top of the list. So, all fear is based in the fear of death. Mm-hmm. Now, how many ways can you die? However many ways you can die. So what is it? Somebody, well, I don't remember. Anyway, however many ways you can die is how many different manifestations of fear there are. Okay, what was the first death recorded in the Bible? It was a murder, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So the fear of man then comes from the fear of murder. Timidness, embarrassment, all of that is fear-based and fear-dependent. Now, an identity crisis, what is that? Well, I either don't know who I am or something, but a secure person, a secure man, a secure woman, knows who they are in Christ Jesus. And when you bring up something else, they don't care. I don't care what I look like to you. I don't care really what I look like to anybody. Somebody hit me up about all this mess, you know, man, you got charged for everything except, you know, stealing somebody's cat. Well, you got a charge for that. But
I did.
Somebody accused him of stealing their cat.
Killing the cat.
Oh, killing the cat. Oh, that, you cat murdering thing. Anyway. And people said, oh, aren't you afraid about what people think about you? No. I'm not out there preaching about me. Mm-hmm. I'm out there. I do care what people think about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
That's the reason I preach the word and not my ideas.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to this. I said, no, I don't care. Yeah, I can't tell you how much.
I don't care
what people think. I really didn't care what they thought when I was on the streets. I sure don't care now that I'm in the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. So all of the fears are in that fear of lack. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? Mm-hmm. How you can die by starvation. Mm-hmm. So, and all of these things are based in fear of the death of the flesh. That's not the only death there is. This is a temporary death. This thing's coming back. I don't care whether you're a born-again believer, Jesus is your Lord or not, this thing's coming back. If you don't know him, in the second death, that body's going to be resurrected. So this is only temporary, just ceasing to function is not death in the first place. Real death is spiritual death, being separated from God all the way up through and including the temporary dysfunctioning and the decay of this body in the grave. Now, if this body gets away from you, then you lose the authority that this body gives you in the earth, and you've lost your choice after that. So it is serious business. But death is being separated from God. Now that we're connected to God, the scripture says we'll never die. Well, let me tell you something about the person that's not connected to die. In the world's sense of death, you ain't going to die either. You're going to live forever. You're going to spend it in hell, and you're going to spend it with a sick, sin-ridden physical body throughout eternity, and they're going to release you from hell like releasing you from the county jail, and then they are going to send you into permanent prison for the rest of eternity called the lake of fire. So there's no such thing as ceasing to exist. It can't happen. Not going to happen, and that's called death, is to be separated from God and to exist forever in torment and sin. Mm-hmm. And he didn't create you to be that way. Mm-hmm. Hell wasn't created for men. Mm-hmm. God created hell for Satan, and he deserves everything he gets in there, and he's going to spend eternity in hell. But don't go there with him, and we're out of time again.
That was excellent.
What are you supposed to say here? Oh, yeah, we'll be back in just a moment.
Do you feel like you've been waging a losing battle in the midst of hard times? Unfortunately, many people say yes to this question, but you can shout no. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. The teaching series by Creflo Dollar titled Winning in Hard Financial Times will help you come to the realization that you can win the battle.
How do you become a winner in hard times? Turn the news media off. You don't need that information. You need this information.
Christians will be sought after for answers. Winning in Hard Financial Times will help you have the answers. Don't be bound by the world's financial situation. Be among those who hold the solutions to life's dilemmas today. To order your copy of Creflo Dollar's teaching series, Winning in Hard Financial Times, log on to kcm.org and order online. This teaching is now available for just $25. To order by phone, you may call us toll-free at 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy of Winning in Hard Financial Times and learn to prosper regardless of the economic climate.
Let's go over here to the 10th chapter of Romans. If you will. Now you're going to have to will to do this. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. You can believe your way out of hell, brother. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew, the Greek, or there is no difference between any race, white, black, Jew, Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray it if you've never received Jesus as your Lord. Creflo and I are here to help you. We want to, and God is crying out for you, dear heart. He needs you. Just pray this. Oh God in heaven.
Oh God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
Believe with all my heart.
Jesus is raised from the dead.
Jesus is raised from the dead.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
I receive you as my Savior.
I receive you as my Savior.
Receive me.
Receive me.
As your child.
As your child.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Right now.
Right now.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce it.
I renounce it.
I renounce the past in Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, use the information on your screen. I'll send these little books to you free and postpaid to help you get started reading your Bible. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, Jesus is the Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to send you 5 books free. Log on to kcm.org and request your free salvation package online today. Take hold of God's promises and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life.